Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got 'em. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win if I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn. For the feeling I earn, all my winners will turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm laying. I'm an addict, Russell
Rocky,
other names. Trade addicts pie, let's go.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I have a trading problem.
I am Andrew Hall, and I have a trading problem.
I'm J Mike, and I too have a trading problem.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to session 302 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, the DAP Network, if you will. And we will. We all just did. So we are back here, restless again. But I do have my partner in crime, my fellow junkie. Junkies are just taking over Trade Addicts. Sidlow last week. Now we got Andrew this week, Andrew Hall. Andrew, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. And as I said before, I've been on Addicts a couple of times now, subbing in for Russ. Anytime I can help my good friend Russ Fisher take a break, I'm always a fan of doing that for him. So glad to be here and glad to have you and the one and only J Mike to chat it up with tonight. This is going to be a good one.
Yes, another great guest this week. It's the dummies combo. We had Zach last week, and now we got J Mike this week. J Mike, tell everyone who you are, what you do, where they can find what you do.
Yeah, man. It's your boy J Mike, one half of the Dynasty Dummies, one half of the Open Bar Podcast. I don't know the last time I've recorded. it's been a long time.
Bar. I was actually thinking, I knew you were on it. Have you guys ever thought, even just like a one-time special, just like have your all-time greatest guests? I would just love to watch that. You guys go for like 3 hours one night.
I was just thinking that. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be a dream. But I'm on Twitter at JMikeCheck, I'm on X at JMikeCheck. All right, great. I'm amongst friends. Yeah. I knew better. I'm amongst friends at JMikeCheck, and I am part of the Trade Addicts 6 league as well. So I'm just grateful to be here with you guys. Grateful to be recording. It's been a fun 9-point scoring season already, and I'm learning lots and lots of new things. Watching people go crazy. So it's a good time.
Yeah, Jim Mike's part of Trade Addicts 6. Jim Mike's the king of Trade Addicts 6, but
yeah,
he's too humble to say that. But
you said that, not me.
We're all just aspiring to be to get to J Mike's level in Trade Addicts 6. But we'll start right into the show with the news brought to us by our official TA news correspondent, Frank. We're just going to do a few items here that he passed along, mostly with OC stuff. Should just mention Mike McDonald, Dan Quinn closed out the coaching cycles hired by the Seahawks and Commanders, respectively. As Frank put in his notes, the OCs are really what's going to matter more there, more so even than the head coach, most likely. And with one of them, we have an OC already, which is Cliff Kingsbury to Washington. Frank mentions should be great for the wide receivers, time to buy Dotson maybe. But now the speculation starts. Kingsbury coached Caleb Williams, and Williams grew up in DC. So Jim Mc, what do you think of the Kingsbury hire? Do you think this could be a way to get Caleb there?
I think it could just be a way to make it really fun in Washington. I don't know what they would have to do to try to move up to the one spot. I know that people have speculated pretty heavily with them having that space, but the Bears, I feel like the Bears have worked tirelessly over the last year plus fleecing Carolina and now getting in a position where they can do that. So could they move off of the pick? Sure. obviously it saves them the issue of trying to move on from Fields. And I feel like there's a lot of moving pieces for Chicago. But as far as Washington goes, I think more than anything, I'm excited for Terry McLaurin. I'm excited that he'll have a system ideally in place that's wanting to put the ball up in the air. And ideally, he has competency at the quarterback position. I think he's about 28-ish years old at this point. And so I think that he's someone in our leagues that just will be criminally underrated. And I think it'll be good times in Washington to be able to see the fun that can be had with competency at the play caller and at the actual quarterback position. So curious what they plan on doing with it. It should be fun, though.
Yeah, it is going to be real interesting to see what the Bears do there. It seems like I kind of get the vibe that they want Caleb and want to move on from Fields, which if that happens, I'll be very interested to see a Fields landing spot because I think he will start somewhere next year. Frank mentions in the chat that Schefter said 2 firsts as a starter on Chicago radio today, but he said that's including the 102. So I could see that. If Caleb is, you know, everything that he's cracked up to be, adding one additional first, I don't think it's actually too bad, even though it's just moving up one pick. But Andrew, what are your thoughts on Kingsbury and any Caleb Williams thoughts to Washington or the Bears?
Well, I mean, I think the Bears would be silly not to engage at least and see what the conversation is, right? Like I would be very excited to see a trade happen. I love trades at the top of the draft. It always makes things kind of fun. We had a couple of good ones last year that kind of made it wild. You know, we had a lot of movement that always makes it kind of exciting to watch, which is always good. I'm not sure if this is enough in a sense to kind of give us the hint that they're going for Caleb, but it doesn't hurt. And I think it'd be very curious to see how it pans out. Kingsbury was kind of an interesting coach in Arizona, right? And had a little bit of played with fire and kind of got burned kind of a thing and definitely went all out, which it was fun to watch. So to your point too, Jay, Mike, T-Mac, Terry McLaurin, I think is going to be possibly a good asset no matter who the quarterback is. I mean, just looking it up on DLF because I was curious while you guys were talking, Terry McLaurin is going at 101st overall in Superflex leagues, wide receiver 41. Like at this point, that's less than a second. You know what I mean? Like you could probably get him for a third in some cases, maybe even on this news, maybe people are still sleeping. Maybe you can get him thrown in on a deal. That's exactly what I'd be trying to do, him or Dotson, right? Like just try to get a piece of that offense and we'll see kind of what goes from there. But even if they start with Sam Howell, he wasn't that bad this year. And maybe we still have free agency. We still got a lot of question marks, but this is the time of year. I love going out and acquiring those upside receivers, right? The post type sleepers and all that kind of stuff. And McLaurin fits that bill perfectly. So I love that. I love that call there, J. Mike. And Washington could be fun to watch. We don't know. I mean, the only piece I wanted to add, I guess, that wasn't really mentioned was what happens to Eric Bieniemy? You know what I mean? Like, does he really have a spot now? Because he obviously was there last year, didn't really do much, and is let go. Not a head coach again, which I don't think he wants to be one, to be honest. I think he's had his opportunities. It just isn't working. And Frank here in the chat mentioning back to KC, I don't think that happens. There's a couple of things that could, but, I mean, maybe he just takes the year off. I don't know. So Washington's going to be fun to watch this year, for sure.
Yeah, that's wild to me. Like, he's been passed over for head coaching jobs, and now he looks like he may not even have an OC job next year. Yeah. And he did pretty good stuff. I mean, Hal is what he is, and he takes a lot of sacks, but he had Hal leading the league in passing yards at one point.
Yeah.
So he did some good work in Washington, too, I think. So Frank mentions the only OC job left is Seattle. So if he does not get the Seattle job, he will not be an OC this year. So, yeah, that's kind of – I mean, I don't know what it is, what is going on with Eric Bieniemy that people
don't like I said, I just don't think he wants it. I just honestly, because I think he's had enough opportunity. I think he goes into those interviews kind of like as a, yeah, you got to interview me, but I'm good. I don't want this job. You know what I mean? Like, or there's one job he wants and it's Kansas City and Andy Reid ain't giving it up. So maybe he just waits. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see.
I do also think though, that this hiring cycle and kind of Eric Bieniemy being on the outside looking in, it is so indicative of just the direction of where the NFL is going. I think a few years ago, we saw that everybody was trying to get a piece of the McVay tree and the guy who's going to be offensively calling plays and being really exciting with the offense. And now here we are, even, I don't know, what is 3 years later, maybe from Mike McDaniel getting a role and others like that. Now it almost seems like there is a general shift of like, hey, we want a guy who's definitely like CEO type. So when we're looking at the likes of Dan Campbell in Detroit and kind of what he's done and the kind of a mind that, yes, maybe you do call plays and maybe it's on the defensive side, but basically, can we just be a face of the organization? And so if you look at guys like Lou Anarumo, who was the DC for the Bengals, hot commodity just 2 years ago or even just a season ago, and then all of a sudden they fall into hard times and he's not getting interviews, not hearing anything about that.
Yep.
And Brian Callahan hasn't called plays before when he got hired to the Titans. Dan Quinn now being a retread now with the Commanders. And we can just go name for name of folks who are kind of overseeing. And so it's almost as if the cycle or the NFL, I don't know if it necessarily has passed Bieniemy by, but right now his type, like play caller, offensive mind or whatever the case is not necessarily what's in vogue. And so it'll really be interesting. Does it go back? I'm sorry. Forgive me for ranting for a moment. But he had the opportunity. I mean, he obviously of all the opportunities that he could have had to leave Kansas City, right? He chose this Washington situation. He had to know that there was going to be risk in taking this role that Rivera might not make it through to the next season, yep. Right? That things could be flipped. And so he took his shot by leaving Kansas City and said, okay, I'm going to go here with the hopes of probably building something into more of a role or being a better candidate. And unfortunately, he missed badly.
Yeah. Two things I want to touch on we talked about in the last couple minutes here. First, Frank, again in the chat, we love Frank. Speculation: Reed could retire if they win. Maybe Bieniemy knows something. That would be interesting. I kind of don't think he would end up as the Chiefs guy. Like I said, as J. Mike said, kind of it seems like the cycle is almost passed him by. It's not like he's like. Like I said, I think he did pretty well in Washington for what he had to work with, and it didn't seem like there was much interest in terms of head coaching jobs. And like I said, he's probably not even going to have an OC job. And then I also, McLaurin, I'm curious what you guys would spend for him or what you would sell him for. I'm interested, especially because I threw out some offers. I threw out in the TA Discord that we didn't have a ton of trades. And so that, of course, got people sending me a bunch of trades. And one of them actually was in one of the TA leagues. What essentially is the 202, it's the 201, but it's really the 202 because Russ has a 113 in every league. So the 202 for Terry McLaurin in the 25 third. Are you selling McLaurin for that?
I will say, as Andrew said earlier, Rocky, maybe you can just get McLaurin for a third these days. So in trade Ivic six, why don't I just send you a third and you send me McLaurin? How about we just do that?
No,
we can bypass this. All right. I'm trying to keep a straight face. I'm sorry.
I heard to try.
We were talking about this about a month ago, maybe or less. Anyway, I'm sorry. Back to your question, Rocky.
So would you sell for the 202?
No. I'd prefer the 202 side.
Okay, so you would take the 202 from McLaurin in the third.
I'm sorry. If I have McLaurin and you sending me the 202, I will give you McLaurin for me taking the 202. Yes.
I was going to say the same. The 202 is high enough for me. I think you can get some of those, first round scraps. You know, fall to the 202, 203, whatever. I mean, like any of that. You get somebody that drops. Somebody doesn't like somebody. You can also package the 202 pretty easily with a player to move up into the first. I think there's a lot more flexibility with that. So if I had McLaurin, I'm probably taking the 202 here in draft season. But overall, I do think McLaurin is probably worth that. And so I feel like that's pretty fair anyway. But I just feel like if you can make that trade today, you might be able to pivot off the 202 for somebody better than McLaurin on draft day, right? And then you're trading McLaurin for a different receiver in theory and just going through the 202 to do it. So I think that sounds fair to me. I mean, I like McLaurin, but I still think drafting is – the draft picks are nice, let's be honest, especially right now when they don't even have a name. And we always talk about that. I know it's mentioned on TradeX all the time. The draft pick itself is worth more than the players you take. So like the draft pick of the 202 is worth more than whoever you might select there. You know, you can maybe even get a little more than that. So yeah, I'm definitely on board.
So as you can see, it's not on the sheet, so I did not accept it. I actually, and I'll have to, maybe I'll, if he rejects it before this gets released in the next day or two, I'll throw that 202 back. I countered with, he also has the 112. So I tried to get, it's two picks. I was hoping maybe, but I know that one is going to be a big stumbling block anyway. But I
think, well, isn't that strange though? Like, yeah. Isn't that strange though? Like, is McLaurin worth a first? Most people would say no, right? But we're talking about the 202, and you're adding a third, of course, which isn't nothing. It's something. But yeah, like, 202 is right there in the first, and yet it has a totally different value in our heads. You know what I mean? Yes. Like, it's just a totally different thing. Yeah. Crazy. So,
I tried to get the pick two picks higher. We'll see if he goes for it. And if he rejects it before this pod comes out, maybe I'll just send the 202 back. But I don't know. But hopefully he doesn't hear this before then. I'm pretty sure he's not in the chat right now.
Shoot your shot. Shoot your shot.
A couple other offensive hires here. As discussed last week, because we did have it on the section last week, that it was rumored that Greg Roman is headed to L.A. with Harbaugh. I talked a little bit about this with Scott and our guest, Zach, last week. But Frank says, great for RBs and tight ends, bad for wide receivers if he is the play caller. Which has not been, I think, officially announced, just that he's going to have a role. So I don't know if he is the OC, or if he is, it might be if Harbaugh's calling the plays or what they're doing there. But what do you think? Roman is not something I'm particularly excited about, J. Mike.
I hear you. And I hear you, and it's not like Greg Roman offenses haven't produced fantasy goodness.
This is true.
For many seasons. The latest run at like how things kind of ended in Baltimore wasn't fun, right? It wasn't something that was imaginative, and it didn't feel like things really progressed forward for whatever reason. But there was a track record of Greg Roman offenses doing two things really well: getting the quarterback on the move and getting running backs buku points. And so with that said, whoever is now going to be the lead back in LA for the Chargers, you'd be super excited about that. And you'd be excited about the ceiling ideally being raised for Herbert, in that he's going to get you past the 300, 350 rushing yards that he's kind of capped it.
Lamar's capped MVP against. Season was under Roman, right?
Yes, yeah. Correct. So I think you're just excited for what could be, even though things ended sour. So I'm not in the camp of not thrilled about it. Could it be more exciting? Sure, but I'm not mad at the hire.
You got any thoughts on that one, Andrew?
Okay. So my first thought is, I'm not a fan from fantasy standpoint if Greg Roman is calling the plays there, but I don't know that he will. And we kind of hit on this a little bit, but I mean, Jim Harbaugh might not let him do that, right? Like, Harbaugh might call the plays. And if that's the case, then you just have Roman kind of handling the other parts of it, which he's probably pretty good at by now. And I think he's got the skill and experience. His play calling was just too boring, right? It wasn't flashy enough for what this offense needs. I'd be shocked if they let him, and I'd be shocked if he wants to at this point with all the, you know, bad press and getting run out in Baltimore last year, I think it was, right? I don't think he coached this year at all. But point being, like, I don't think he calls the plays, which means I'm probably okay with it. Like, if he does call the plays, I'm a little more nervous, but that team needs so much help. I'm not sure if it's really going to be like, you know, the difference between them making the playoffs or not. I just don't think that's the case.
But previously when they were together, like, he didn't he call plays then when they were in San Francisco together?
See, that's what I was just trying to look that up. I thought Harbaugh did, but technically it does say in this one article on Reddit from 9 years ago, which I can't, it's just a quick look, but Greg Roman calls the plays and relays them to Harbaugh, and then Harbaugh relays them to Kaepernick at the time. So, like, it does seem like they're both kind of involved, which is maybe what is going to happen again, and I'm fine with that, because even then, if you've got Greg Roman picking three plays, you know, and then Harbaugh picks of those three which ones to call in, that might be the best combination. It worked out well for the Niners back then. So I'm not against that. I just don't want Roman being the sole play caller like he was in Baltimore. That just didn't work well for me in fantasy. And I think we all kind of saw that. But then the other angle, the shoe on the other foot, the talent was very different, right? Baltimore just didn't have the kind of splashy talent. And then, of course, they had injuries all over the place. And there was even a year where Lamar wasn't 100%. So, like, maybe it wasn't all Greg Roman's fault. Maybe it was just a bad fit. I don't know. So I feel like there's a lot of question marks, and I don't know, anything's better than where the Chargers were last year, because that was just ugly. So I'm happy for them and happy for their fans. So, and for fantasy purposes too, it should be a better year, even with Greg Roman. I think it's an upgrade.
Yeah, one of the most interesting things to me, and Jay Mike kind of alluded to it, is though he's had more mobile quarterbacks in the past, like Kaepernick and Lamar, but Herbert, that was kind of one of the features of Herbert when he came out as a prospect, was that he had some mobility, and we haven't seen him utilize that as much. So maybe Roman does bring that out a little more, given what he's done in the past, which could be very interesting and, you know, increase Herbert's upside a little more. And Bowers, as Frank says, could go nuclear if he lands there in that system. I think everybody wants Bowers to go to LA at this point. That could be very interesting. Great quarterback, yeah, and tight end.
They definitely need a tight end, yeah.
And then the last one was just that the Titans hired Jags passing game coordinator Nick Holtz as OC. All signs point to a pass-heavy system for Levis with Callahan Holtz. I don't know a lot about this guy. The one thing that I saw is, do we think Levis is definitely the starting quarterback now the next year?
I do. Yeah. I think he played well enough to earn that. Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, if it's a pass heavy system, Henry's probably moving on too, from all accounts, it seems like. It definitely could be a little interesting for Levis. I'm still not totally sold on Levis. I know he had a nice game or two there, but, I need to see more. I was not a big fan of Levis coming out. I'm not sure where you were on him, J. Mike.
I mean, look, you see the threads, all right?
Yeah,
that's right. I forgot. I will say, but
truly, there were just too many times where he would miss deep downfield, which was just disappointing. And I think that first game, he kind of, I won't say fooled everyone, but he put on display when he was hitting DeAndre Hopkins all over the place. He kind of put on display like, oh, this guy, because he's got a huge arm. The problem is not necessarily hitting deep and the inconsistency intermediate. Now, here's the thing. He actually played so much better in Tennessee than I thought would have happened in this year, specifically behind an offensive line that was trying to get him killed week in and week out. Like,
well,
willfully trying to get him killed.
That's the point I wanted to make here on this. The biggest hire, other than Brian Callahan, is Bill Callahan. His dad is going to be the offensive line coach. And he comes from Cleveland, 4 years in Cleveland, where they had a terrific offensive line. So even if you're looking at it like, oh, well, he just wants to coach with his son, you know, let's put him in. No, he's a terrific coach and a terrific get for this team that J. Mike just said needs offensive line help more than most teams in the league. The reason we saw so many long Henry runs is because he was doing it all himself. He was bursting into the hole that was barely there and making it happen, or getting to the outside, turning the corner and going, because that's what he does. And I think you can kind of you can have a bad offensive line when a guy like Henry is running the ball. You can kind of hide it. You know, it's not quite as obvious, but we saw it on full display when Levis had to throw the ball, where he was getting hurried. He was getting moved around. I think that if nothing else, they bring somebody in there and Callahan Sr., who knows exactly what's going on. He knows exactly what's going to happen, and he can kind of predict what's going to happen. Their free agency is going to be terrific, I think, too. They're going to go get the guys that want to play with him. Like, this could change that entire offense, which, again, makes me very high on Levis in general, too, and saying, I think Levis is the guy. I think this team takes a step forward. I think Callahan's plural know what to do with him. And Nick Holtz, I don't mind Nick Holtz as the passing game guy from the Jags. They seem to throw the ball a little bit. So I feel like a lot of this is, you know, maybe painting the perfect picture, but I'm excited for this team. And I think if they do what they should do, and hell, Treylon Burks is actually healthy this year, you know, maybe they get somebody in free agency and this team is all of a sudden fantasy relevant again. That'd be great. So I'm looking forward to the Titans. Hate to say it, but it's true.
I know Russ has been worried T. Higgins is going to go there, and he doesn't love that idea.
I am nervous of that as well. Yes, I think that's a fair concern, but I'm still holding down hope that that the Bengals decide to find a way to keep him. Let's just put it that way.
I think there's only two places that he goes, but we can talk about that another time, I think.
Yeah.
Well, no, now I want to hear where you think he's going to go.
All right. If Cincinnati lets him walk out the door, I think Cincinnati probably hits him with the franchise.
Yeah.
If Cincinnati lets him walk out the door, there is going to be a massive Clemson reunion in Jacksonville. It'll be T. ETN, and Trevor Lawrence, just like old times.
Oh, that'd be like cool. That.
I think Russ would love that.
I think so. Calvin Ridley would have to go.
I was just going to say, if Calvin Ridley's he's a free agent, though, so I guess he might not be. If Calvin Ridley and T. Higgins were on the same team, I think Russ's head would explode.
Oh, no, Kirk is. Well, so the other piece of this, I will agree. I think that's a good point, and I forgot about the ETN bundle on that too. But I think Jags is a very, very interesting team. I don't know if they have the team build or the real reason or need, but that would be fun. I'm with you on that. Titans, I think, do make some sense, but I still feel like all signs point to him playing on the tag or signing a very team friendly, upfront, lots of money this year kind of deal. Because the Burrow contract is hitting next year. Chase is going to need money. Like, there's a chance that he signs like a 3-year, $38 million deal, and 23 of it is this year. Something crazy like that, because they have the cap this year. The Bengals have the room. It just, they generally don't like spending it. But I feel like the way that the Bengals are built, there's a chance that he sticks around. The team loves him. He loves the team. Him, Boyd, and Chase are on vacation, I think, even as we speak. Like, they just are at this point brothers that have just been through everything. So it would be devastating to lose him. But again, go get that bag, man. Go get that money. I don't blame you at all if you leave. So that's going to be an interesting free agency watch in March, though, for sure.
No question.
And you said two spots, didn't you? Or did you mean Cincinnati was one of them?
Yeah, I mean, since he lets him out, walk out the door, I think the other piece is like somebody just throwing an absurd bag at him, like a la Carolina. A la, like, somebody who's just, like, desperate for...
Like, Kansas City would be another guess. Like, Kansas City would be a killer spot for him because they would love to get a Bengals player for the drama. They
don't have money for that, though.
They don't, but that's the other thing. If they can win another Super Bowl, T might be looking at this like, I get to play with Pat Mahomes. Like, this might be my best chance. Like, there's a lot of fun narratives you can construct. Carolina's another good one. A young quarterback up and coming with a coach that just signed a 6-year deal. Like, that, it sounds like they're going to be in for a long rebuild in a sense. T is the perfect person to put there and have your wide receiver one locked down, have him sign a 4-year deal if that's what he's looking for. Like, so that would be fun. Like, there's a bunch of those teams out there that just need, 7 or 8 pieces, and maybe T's the first of those dominoes to fall. So yeah, it's going to be entertaining for sure.
And then before we move on, one more question from the chat. Quick question back on the Chargers. Are you any interest in buying Donald Parham for free in case they pass on Bowers? Everett is a free agent. I would say probably not. My guess is even if they don't draft Bowers, they probably draft a tight end if Everett is gone, especially if they let Everett go in free agency. But what do you guys think? Do you guys have any interest in sending a third or a fourth for Donald Parham?
I don't mind that. Yeah. I mean, if you're looking for a upside pick with some options, Like, maybe, I don't know, maybe there's a chance that Parham becomes the guy. And even if he doesn't, you didn't spend much on the risk. So I don't mind that logic. Yeah.
No, I'm out on that. I like having more imaginative dart throws for me. I feel like we've seen Parham flirt long enough. And I'm not with flirting. I'm trying, if I got you on the team, I want you contributing toward some a little bit longer term relationship here. So
that being said, I think Everett comes back, or Like, I wouldn't be shocked. Everett's a vet at this point. Like, he's actually played pretty well this year. I wouldn't be shocked at all if he comes back on a 1-year, team friendly deal. He's getting up there. He doesn't have a lot of value. And I'm tempted to make a very bold prediction that is based purely on vibes and not on facts. But I have this odd suspicion, and I actually just wrote about it this week in my article for Fantasy Pros, that I have this odd suspicion that Mark Andrews is out in Baltimore. I think that they have an out this year. He's signed under contract. He's not a free agent. But this injury and everything, it would be interesting to see him go. And if he leaves, he would be the top free agent. And I think that's where you might see somebody like LA strike and go get like a huge monster like that and not have to worry about Bowers. So, again, I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying that would be a crazy twist if that did happen.
Yeah, but that was so wild. You made J Mike totally mess up his phone there for a second.
He had to rotate his phone. That was crazy.
But imagine there's a lot happening to Andrews.
Like, my God, that'd be amazing.
There was a lot happening there.
I get it. I do that sometimes.
But okay, so we will move on. Do you, J Mike, we always leave it up to the guests. Do you want to go to the trades next or the listener questions?
Every time I listen, I always try to guess what the person is going to do first.
Me too.
I just find that fun for some strange reason. I would like to go with the trades first.
That's what I was going to guess. I also get irrationally upset when they say something other than what I predicted, which makes no sense. Yeah, I'm with you 100%.
Okay, so we will start with the trades. We have a few here this week. Reminder, Trade Addicts Leagues are 12-team PPR Superflex, 1.75 tight end premium with 0.05 for return yards. And we can just leave it at that because there's no TA1 trades this week.
You're welcome. So,
the first trade is from TA2, actually made by me and Russ tonight. I threw out some trades because we only had three. This ended up being the fourth. Tried to get one or two more for the show, and this is the only one that ended up getting a deal out of. We kind of went back and forth on a couple things, but it ended up with Brock Purdy and the 208 for Nico Collins and Kirk Cousins. So, J-Mike, what do you think of that one?
I tend to hold Kirk in higher esteem than probably I should. Man.
Frank says, clearly Rocky didn't trade for Purdy.
That's a fact. Yeah, that's a fact.
Plus, the other side is Kirk Cousins on it, so it's a bit of a giveaway of which side I got here.
I do love that, like, the Purdy beef, I feel like, really started on the episode that I was on, I don't know, a time or two ago, where you got to sound off a little bit, and I was like, yes. Oh, we didn't know. And that's been a running bit for a year plus now. Yes. I'll go with the Nico Cousins side. Just because I think that if I was diligent, I could spin Nico into a first plus. And I think that would be the thing that would make me feel much better about it, seeing Cousins first, late second, for late second and Purdy. I'd be good with that.
What about you, Andrew?
I just think it's wild that it's Nico Collins is the bigger part of that too on that side. That's just wild to me because Kirk Cousins a year ago was like, you know, obviously aging, but he was a starter and then he got hurt and Nico Collins blew up. So it's just weird to see those two flip flop. I think the value is right there. This is a very even trade. I think also it definitely feels like a Russ and Rocky trade, but I probably lean the Nico and Kirk side as well. I just think Cousins still has plenty left in the tank. I don't think he's done. I think he and Purdy are closer in terms of output than people may want to, I don't know, understand or listen to. I know Purdy's younger and I know he's on an offense that we don't even know where Cousins is going to be for sure next year. I get all that. But in terms of when they're on the field producing for the next 2 or 3 years, which is all you can really guarantee, I think they're pretty close. I mean, again, not in terms of dynasty value, but in terms of output. And if that's the case, I'm willing to take the hit and take the risk to add Collins, who was a stud this year. So, yeah, I like that trade. And I like the Coco side, Cousins and Collins, for sure.
Coco. Yes, I did get the Cousins and Collins side.
I had a feeling, Rocky.
I I love Cousins. This team is not the greatest team, so I may actually end up flipping both of these pieces, even though I do love Cousins. I know Cousins isn't going to return. Cousins, I may have to trade post-draft to really get
We might have to wait till free agency at least. Yeah. Kind of let him get a landing spot, and then that's when you trade on the news of wherever if he re-signs in Minnesota or goes somewhere else. I mean, that's when you strike if you have Cousins.
Yeah, but even if he goes back to Minnesota, though, like, he's now going back to Minnesota with Jetta's ideally healthy and established now Jordan Addison as the two, as opposed to like a budding number two. And then obviously ideally Hockenson coming back, like all of a sudden, like that becomes a lot more fun of a situation than what he started with and was playing with early last season prior to his injury.
Yeah, and if I don't flip Nico, I do like Nico as a player. I agree with J-Mike. I definitely think that you could get a pretty decent return for him. But if I end up with him, I don't hate that either. On a rebuilding team, he's still a young player. I don't necessarily think they're going to go big on wide receiver this year. I guess it's a possibility with the Texans, but With the way Collins and Tank Dell produced, I don't know that they're going to feel they need to invest a ton in wide receiver, either in draft capital or in free agency. I guess we'll see in a month or so. I really don't think it's going to happen in the draft. I think if they do anything, they're going to sign a free agent. I don't see them investing significant draft capital on a guy, but maybe that's just me. But yeah, so I do like Nico as a player, but yeah, I definitely had this in mind that, especially with Cousins, that I might try and flip him. And Collins, like you said, is also a possible flippable piece. And we all know I'm not the biggest Purdy supporter, so this was pretty easy for me to accept it once it came through. So yeah, that's where my thinking was on that. But we'll move on to the TA5 trade, which is what we have next. And this is a kind of interesting one. A lot going on here. Devon Achane and the 209 for Geno Smith, Javonte Williams, Deontay Johnson, and the 212. Andrew, I'll let you start on this one. What do you think there?
This one's wild to me. I get the love for Devon Achane, and I like Devon Achane myself. I think Achane is going to be one of those guys that we see a lot in Dynasty. But it's a super flex league, and running backs are notoriously fragile. And as much as we love them, I mean, Jonathan Taylor last year was a sure thing. Javonte Williams was the next coming of God, and he's even in this trade. I love the idea of getting a quarterback without having to give one up. You're moving down three picks, so that's negligible to me. So, yeah, it's Geno Smith's side, not necessarily by a mile, but I really like the Geno side. I'm also still believing in Javonte and Deontay, you know, not because they rhyme, but because I think both of those guys are very talented. And so, yeah, I think that side for me, as much as I love Devon Achane, that's a ton of good value to get for him. So, yeah, I'll gladly trade him away for those four assets, I guess, three plus the pick.
Is that where you're at, Jay Mike?
What was the pick one more time?
Achane and the 209, and then the 212 was on the other side with the three players.
Let me ask this. Do y'all think any of those three players are worth a first right now?
I think there are some leagues you might be able to get, like Geno and Javonte. Like something like that might be worth a first, but I'm not sure straight up.
I don't think so.
Yeah,
I wouldn't pay a first for any of them. Maybe a very late first for Javonte, but I am higher than most people on Javonte. I think a lot of people not. Yes.
Yeah, I think part of this for me is, and maybe this I'm really not one to try to package a bunch of assets to move them. I like acquiring a lot of assets, but in this case, I think I'm on the Achane side. I think that even in his truncated body of work, I think I saw something the other day where his yards per carry was like maybe best all time for like 100 carries minimum or something in a season. Like maybe not best, but like it was an absurd thing.
Yeah.
And so if I'm looking at him as like, if you look at him as a premium asset, even if he's getting 12, 14 carries or touches in a game, like you like that. Like that feels really good. If I can get 12 to 15 touches out of Achane, I like that a lot. And then I try to just piece together, like, what does it look like for me to even part with him if I'm trying to move him? Like, I probably want multiple firsts if I'm going to move him. And so coming off of Achane for a quarterback that I think is probably coming back and is going to be a part of Seattle's new situation or whatever. I don't know. Javonte Williams, I think I'm just out on from the standpoint of not because I think he's a bad player. But, Rocky, you and I had talked about this prior to the season just in terms of, like, getting on or off of that train. I don't think I'm getting back on at this point. There was nothing this season that told me, like, hey, I need to get back in. And they have Jaleel McLaughlin, who also showed out multiple times. And Deontay Johnson's being a guy that, if we look at the wide receiver landscape right now, like I don't know that I can definitively say that he's a top 24 wide receiver in Dynasty, top 30. Yeah. So I think that I take the moonshot with Achane here and I get to either play around and try to do more fun, have more fun with assets, or I just take a premium asset that I know if he's going to get touches, specifically in the offense that he's in his second year, like – sky's the limit. Like that's the stuff that you want in your lineup in a TA league is I'm only starting 10 folks. And if I'm going to be starting someone, I want someone to be able to help get me to the freaking moon. So yeah, I think I'm on the Achane side here.
And I think Jay might convince me there. I really like two of these players, too. I'm a big Javonte guy. I love the talent of Deontay, but I think Jay Mike has a point there. The reason he's not a top, possibly even top 30 wide receiver in Dynasty is because of the quarterback play there. And I don't know that that's going to get better. We've talked, you know, people have thrown it out in the chat, and I think we joked about it on the pod that we'd love to see him get like a Cousins there or something like that. But Pittsburgh generally doesn't do that sort of thing. Right. So if we're stuck with Pickett or Mason Rudolph or something
with Arthur Smith now, by the way,
yes, with Arthur Smith or something off the scrap heap, that's not going to help Deontay either. And I still think he's a target monster, but when those targets are coming from total dog crap quarterbacks, it's really hard to produce. So I think Jay might convince me because, yeah, I mean, obviously the best asset here is Devon Achane.
Mile. Yeah, that's not even the debate. Yeah.
And you're banking on a lot of risky propositions on the other side there. So I think if I'm moving Achane, like I said, I do like two of those players, but I think I need one higher level asset than the three that are there. And I don't like Geno at all. Like, people have tried to sell me Geno multiple times, and I don't think I've traded for Geno anywhere. So the one Geno share I think I have is in one of the junkies leagues where Andrew Gunnerman had to throw in like a year before he actually started, I think, a game for Seattle.
Yeah.
I didn't even want him then, and then it turned out to work out okay because we didn't pay much for him. But, I don't think it's awful, but yeah, I think I lean the Achane side there as well.
Well, I want to jump in real quick and just say this. I agree with what you said, J. Mike, and you're actually on a good point there. The only question mark I would have on this trade, if I had Achane, would be I would like to get more, right? And I'm not saying that this is the most you could get. But that being said, we've all played in leagues, and Trade Addicts leagues aren't necessarily like this, but we've all played in leagues where this is the most you can get. Achane at this point is running back 6, according to DLF ADP in January. Like, I don't know if there's a lot of room to move up. They still might split the ball a lot. That offense looked a little bit wonky at times. I'm not 100% sold on that. And I love getting out on running backs when they're in that top 5 to 7 kind of range, because the chances of them going to RB3 are slim to none. You know, McCaffrey is RB4. You know what I mean? Like that, there's very few running backs that can hold that value year over year. So I'm not disagreeing with anything you said. I'm just trying to defend a little more on where I'm coming from. Like, I'm usually get out on running backs in February, like just kind of trade high, get high. And I would like to get more than this, don't get me wrong. But this is kind of like that floor where I'm like, you know what? I'm okay with this, because it depends on the team too. If I need starters, if I'm looking for depth, if I've got other running backs or just don't care about running backs, I think Javonte could be a guy. Geno could be. I could start all three of those guys. And if my team needs starters, that makes sense. So, I think it's a pretty even trade, but I'm just not huge on trading for a running back in February. That's just kind of my process.
And before we move on to the next TA trade, I do want to get to a question that was thrown out in the chat by Corey. 12-team Superflex League. He has Dak, Purdy, Love, and Rodgers, so 4 quarterbacks likely starting in 2024. Would you try to flip Purdy or Love and Hollywood for A.J. Brown is his question. So I'm curious to hear your guys' thoughts on that. I would not. I like Love more than Purdy. I don't know about you guys. I get Purdy has the overall better weapons. I just... We know my thoughts on Purdy. I was impressed by what I saw of Love, and Purdy, I think, has done well with what he has there. If the weapons go away, if McCaffrey starts showing his age, if they have to move on from Debo or Ayuk for salary cap reasons, I think things are going to fall off for Purdy. But that's just me. So, Jay Mike, what are your thoughts on that?
I think I'm with you in that. I think I would value Love above Purdy. I'm probably hanging on to Love. If it's in reference to an AJ Brown move, I think Purdy's a discussion for me.
That's the way I feel, and I'm not sure where I fall.
Yeah, I mean, like if they don't win the Super Bowl, I don't know how much does that change his outlook. I don't know. But again, he kind of defied the odds again this season by being very good, even though he's not a world beater, but he knows how to throw the ball on time. He anticipates, does all these wonderful things, and was a top, what, six quarterback in fantasy this year? And in a weird year, right? In a weird quarterback year, scoring year.
Yeah.
But still, like, that's not nothing. And so I think that's the discussion is like, do I really want to move Purdy for AJ Brown? I don't know about that. That's currently a push, and it's really a cop out. I know people probably are not here to listen to cop out answers, but that's one I have to chew on a while.
I and again, this is going to sound like Purdy hate, but I think I would lean towards doing it just because of his team situation. The fact that he can still start Dak, Love, and Rodgers does make a difference to me. I know value is value, but it makes it a little easier to part with Purdy for me when I have three start, and I know one of them's only maybe starting 1 year, but you still got two guys that you're going to have for years to come. I mean, Dak is 30, but he could still play for another 5, 6, 7 years. So that makes it a little easier for me to move on from Purdy. Like if Purdy was like, he just had Dak, Purdy, and like, you know, I don't know, Baker Mayfield or something, that might change my opinion a little on it. But the fact that I have four starting quarterbacks, I think I'm more willing to kind of get that elite asset in AJ Brown. But what are your thoughts, Andrew?
I like the bones of this. I think the way that J Mike put it is like, I'd have to chew on the Purdy and Brown and adding Hollywood Brown. Obviously I'm not too worried about, right? That's a piece, but it's not a vital piece. But to me, if you're going to be sending Purdy and Hollywood Brown, I would want to get quarterback and a Brown back, right? So like, can I get like, can I add Sam Howell to that? Aiden O'Connell, like Kenny Pickett, even we were just talking about, like, can I get one of those guys that maybe you're not too high on just to give me an upside flyer at my quarterback position? Because again, I mean, I don't want to say it's like a stickler, but I generally do not trade away quarterbacks without getting one back in Superflex leagues. It just makes me feel like weak. And so even if I'm getting somebody back, like an Aiden O'Connell or Sam Howell, like some of those guys, like, who we're not sure, like hell, Desmond Ridder, right? Like some of those guys that we're just not sure about what they're going to do. I'd much rather have that than not have that. And so it's like, if that's going to be a sticking point for you, then maybe I go, okay, then I'll just take it without, right? Or I try to get to the, you find a quarterback on their bench, like their third or fourth or fifth best quarterback, right? But if they're getting Purdy, I want to tax the hell out of them for that in my mind. And as good as I like AJ Brown, and obviously he's the best player, I think, in this deal, but I still would be like, nah, you're still getting a quarterback. I'm going to make sure you pay the price for that. So I don't hate the trade as it is, but I would try to get a little more, even if it's a second. You know, sometimes you can get people even now still throwing seconds around to make deals close. So, you know, we talked about this on Junkies a couple different times, I know, where it's like, did this offer get sent to you, or are you sending it to someone else? That matters a lot too, right? If somebody sent you, and you, let's say you have AJ Brown and they sent you Purdy and Brown for Brown, I'm probably taking the Purdy and Hollywood side. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just straight up, like, I'll take the quarterback without giving one up. But if it was the other way around and they're wanting Purdy and Hollywood Brown for my AJ Brown, I'm going to be like, nah, give me the quarterback. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of where, you know, well, I'm doing it backwards, but you get my point. Like, I want a little bit of tax on that. And that's kind of where context is always key and timing is everything and all that. But that's kind of where my head goes, is I want a little bit of something, something. That's all.
I hear that. I, like I said, the fact that he has four quarterbacks makes it a little easier for me to do it without a quarterback in return. But we'll move on to the next one, which is TA6, and what was made by our featured guest here tonight.
Oh, boy.
A lot smaller trade, though, which is Tucker Kraft for 2025 second. And J. Mike loves to do this kind of thing where he moves off players for future picks. Especially, I've seen him do it a couple of different times in TA6 a year out, kind of taking advantage of people like me who don't value the ones that are another year away as much as maybe they should. This wasn't me, though. But
oh, okay.
I'm perfectly fine with this, actually, on either side. I think this is pretty fair. I don't know that Tucker Kraft may never be anything. He actually did come on a little bit in the second half. I think Musgrave was banged up. But there's no telling which guy is, if any of either of them is ever going to be kind of like the featured guy. It could just be some games are Tucker Kraft games and some games are Luke Musgrave games. So a second, a year out, I'm fine with that. Since it's J Mike's trade, Andrew, I'm going to throw it to you, and then we can let J Mike finish up with his thoughts on what he was thinking here.
Yeah, so I mean, my first thought is I want the pick. I think that was probably the right move. I think this is the kind of pick that a 25 second sounds like, oh, it's 2 years out, you know, like, oh, but the Kraft may not be anything, you know what I mean? Like, you could also use the logic of like, well, Kraft, you know, is worth what he's worth, and the second could be somebody, it could be even be Kraft, right? Like that classic Family Guy reference we all talk about. But I mean, there's no guarantee in life, and maybe the value is on the value side, and just take that pick and just roll it into something else. I think there is a world where you can get more than a second for Kraft, but that's a minority world. Like, that's not very likely. Like, it's possible, but not probable, right? So I think if you can get out of Kraft right now, I think that's a good move. I mean, for reference, I actually got an offer in Junkies. I think it was in Junkies 2. It was me sending Tucker Kraft for Brandon Cooks. And I'm like, I don't need Brandon Cooks, like, you know, wide receiver 3, possibly a wide receiver 6 for fantasy. Like, that does nothing for me. I'd rather take the upside, right? But if it was a second, I'd send Kraft for a second. You know what I mean? Like, if I need a tight end, if I don't have a better starter. So I'm hoping you took the second based on our discussion here. But I guess, what was your thought? Did you send it? Did you receive it? Just since we have you, might as well get some of that detail too.
Yeah, so in this particular instance, I sent Kraft to get the 25 second. And trade Addict 6, and so I've got a series of tight ends, and just like Rocky said, and I think he must have me pegged pretty well, but I'm totally happy to send a player out and be able to get the pick 2 years out. And I think that's something that you, I, and Rocky discussed. Maybe, I don't know if it was on Junkies, maybe 2 years ago, a year ago or so, or something.
A year and a half. Yep, 22.
Yeah, and so I'm just always of the mindset of, for me, I am totally okay with the 2 years out piece. Like, I'm not moved by, okay, 25 or 24. Typically, when we get to this time of the year, obviously now we know where some of those 24 first or seconds might be. And so now you have a general idea of, like, what that looks like. But for me, generally speaking, if we're 2 years out, cool, I'll take the 25 pick. Kraft is someone I think that I drafted with a late third last year. Obviously, outperformed that, as you said, with Musgrave now out. And I'm okay with the reroll. And I also am one who is, I think I've said this on this podcast and probably plenty others before, like, I am a child of Madden. Madden raised me. And so Madden franchise mode raised me. And even though I don't play it hardly any these days, I love making draft picks. I love making the picks. I love playing around with assets and moving things around and just getting weird. I love being able to have the flexibility of the picks. And so while Kraft is someone that, who knows, he could end up being awesome, overtake Musgrave. And we just talked about how much we enjoy Love and how the Green Bay offense is ascending, and who knows, it could be really awesome. And so being able to find a trade partner who's like, you know what, my trade partner says, hey, I'm okay with taking on Kraft, because if I make that second, I don't know what I'm going to end up getting with that second, but I know that I would like Kraft. I would love to be able to have a player like Kraft in this role. And for me, it's like, okay, I get another shot to be able to try to shoot for the moon, or try to be able to hit, or just use as an asset to have fun with. And build maybe into another trade, or who knows what at this point. So I love how it worked out. I love to be able to, like Rocky said, get off of players for a pick and push it way out. And again, usually I feel like that's one of those small edges that I tap into from time to time, just when people are not worried about it. And it's cool because it works out, because they always think, hey, I can get this pick back later. I'm always of the mindset of, you might get it, but you ain't finna get it for me. So
yeah. It'll cost you more than you did.
But it works
now.
Out well. Yeah. Yeah, it works. It just works.
And this is why J Mike has an awesome team, and then always has a bunch of first and seconds in TX right. as well.
But it works.
Yeah. So our last trade comes from TA9 and is basically a draft pick trade. 105 for 108 plus Marvin Mims. For me, and I am not, me and Andrew were talking about this before the show. I haven't dived deep into the draft yet. It's still early February, I'll probably do that as February moves on into March. But from what I'm hearing, it sounds like there's probably a bit of a tier break after 107 or so, which makes me, depending on who you like there, but 106, 107 in that area. And for that reason, to me, Marvin Mims is not enough to drop from 105 to 108. 105, maybe if you're lucky, one of the three quarterbacks drops there that are expected to go in the first round, early first round, or you could get a Bowers there, and TA is a tight end premium league, or Neighbors. I think it's not, I don't have enough faith in Marvin Mims to make that drop worth it to me. But, Andrew, I see you nodding a lot there. What do you think?
Oh, 105 easily. Yeah, I'll gladly give up the 108 and Marvin Mims. You know, giving up Mims to move up three spots, it sounds like you're trading Mims for three spots. That's exactly what you're doing here, right? I will gladly give that up at this three spots. We're not talking about 405 to 408. We're talking about 105 to 108. I've seen some different tier breaks on the rookies and just purely on talent. And there's a lot of people that are saying it's seven. I've seen some that are saying it's five, right? There's always going to be a couple of landing spots that vault people up into that tier. You might have some people fall out and all that. I don't hate the 108, but if I can trade up for the price of Marvin Mims, I'm gladly out. You can have him. And somebody else on the other side of this might have been like, I think there's going to be nine guys that I want, and I'll take the extra flyer on Mims. Like, that's what I love about trading. There's nobody wrong here, but I would gladly give up Mims to move up three spots in this draft. I just feel like it's very top heavy, which I don't think is what I expected a year ago. And J-Mike, maybe you can touch on that a little more, being that you're better on the rookie evaluation side. But I'm really looking at, you know, again, early, like you said, Rocky, early analysis. I want something in that 105, 106 range if I can get it, and I'll gladly give up the eight and Mims to do it.
I think we're in this place where for this year, we're looking at probably six blue chippers, right? Like six guys where we're like, I am really happy to add these six players to any team. This is Caleb Williams, Drake May, quarterback, Jaden Daniels, quarterback. We've got the two receivers, Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Neighbors, and then Brock Bowers, tight end out of Georgia. And I think that if you have the opportunity to be in the position to take any of those players, you've done something very right. And what Andrew said is also correct in that it happens every year. Someone rides a rocket from obscurity or from second round in the muddle that's the second up to, oh man, this guy's now fringe. We're taking him. We could win Xavier Worthy or Romo Dunze. Like, would you Adonai Mitchell or Romo Dunze? Like, somebody's going to come up and then flirt with figuring that out, especially in a year when the running backs aren't the bee's knees that everybody is wanting. And so there's going to be a lot of jockeying in that area of the 108, but I'm with Andrew in that. Give me the 105 because that allows me to be able to have a blue chipper or be able to recoup a ton of value in moving off of that pick if I'm so want to. I do find Marvin Mims to be a really interesting piece, though, just because everything that could go wrong last year, very Murphy's Law in Denver, everything that could go wrong did go wrong. And so now Sean Payton ideally having a little bit more of a pulse of, hey, this is what I want to do versus having to deal with Russ or whatever the situation is. It could be fun to see how they leverage Marvin, but he didn't hardly get leverage this past season. So it's weird, but again, 105 side, let me stop. 105.
Okay. So we're all in agreement there. We'll move on now to the listener questions. First one. Oh, and I guess I should mention in case people did not see on Twitter, Russ always loves to throw that random question out at the end of the tweet. And my random question today was, because I did mention last week, Russ is going to be out for a few weeks. And I said, give me your, what is your random scenario that's keeping Russ away from the podcast, basically? The first one comes from at Bob Kilchrist FF, our buddy Bob. He said, Russ has decided he is taking his talents to South Beach in answer to that question. And now as for J Mike, what is your favorite cold weather soup and why is it my Southwestern chicken corn chowder?
Chowder. I must say, I've all the things that I've had that Bob has made in the last 2 years in Canton when we meet up for the expo, I don't know that his chowder is something that I was able to consume. So I'm disappointed, but I love soups and I would love to try his chowder. I do love a good lobster bisque. I do love a good chicken tortilla soup.
Oh yeah.
And I'm also a very, very big fan of chicken and wild rice. That is like a homemade chicken and wild rice really hits home for me. But there's way too many to list. There's potato soups. There's like it's absurd.
Did you want to? I'm not a big soup guy. So did you want to chime in on the soups, Andrew? Or do you want to move on to the next question?
I'll say I live in Cincinnati. I know, J. Mike, you're from the area as well. I'm a big fan of chili. You know, and we have our Cincinnati chili. So any chili, any hearty chili is good for me in cold weather. Perfect tailgate move, too. But something that always takes me back to my childhood that my mom used to make when it got cold out was cream of mushroom soup. That one just always kind of fills my soul a little bit. I don't eat a lot of mushrooms, so anytime I can get some of, you know, that's the one time I'm like, hell yeah, give me some of that. So yeah, I'm not a huge soup guy, but I do like a little, you know, spicy soups, like the spicy tortillas. Yeah, give me some of that. But yeah, cream of mushroom is always what like is my go-to if I'm feeling sick. You know what I mean? Like you can have your noodle, I'll take the mushroom. That's where I go.
Okay, and our next question came from at Jake Trowbridge. I don't have a single dynasty share. And we kind of talked about this already. He says, I don't have a single dynasty share of Jordan Love. Should I be afraid? Should I just start all my teams over? Help! So, any other comments you guys want to make? Want to expand on Jordan Love a little bit? J-Mike here, you know, should he be concerned he has not a single dynasty share of Jordan Love?
Especially being a Packers fan.
I know. I was thinking the same thing.
he should be ashamed. He should be taken to the city streets, town square, and flogged for sins. I do think that Jordan Love really showed off to close last year, and especially the heights that we were able to see, even as the passing pieces around him continued to shuffle and get weird and be unproven. Like, I think that's the part that makes it most impressive for me, what he did. It wasn't just that he was awesome and making throws and dealing and just like dotting up defenses. I mean, he's doing this with a bunch of dudes who are you, Bo Melton? Who are you, Dontavian Wicks? Yep. Tucker Kraft? Like, what are we doing? And for him to be able to do that and see my boy Romeo Doubs go crazy, like it's just really cool to see. And so now you start wrestling with, okay, we've moved him up, but like where are we moving him up to in the landscape of QB? So yes, he should be very concerned. Shame on you for not letting your fandom take more control of your rosters. I love you, Jake, but Trowbridge, it's a miss. It's a miss on your end.
I was just used to, when she said, where are we moving him to? That was maybe one of, I have the DLF ADP up. In January, he was still at QB 14, which seems low to me. Yeah.
No shot. Yeah. No
exactly.
Shot.
So I want to see how high we're moving him up. I'm pretty sure you're going to move him up over this guy. Kyler Murray is a QB 13. I want to hear from both of you, both Jordan Love there.
I'll take Jordan Love.
Love, but Kyler should probably be higher too, but Love.
Yeah. Well, this is where it gets fun, right? There's only 12 higher. Like, this is where it gets tight up in the top 12, man. Yeah.
Love or Fields?
Can you ask me in May? Like, I want to know where he is, and I want to know what the team spent to get him, if they got him. Like, there's just so many question marks. So as of today, I got to go Love. But I think if Fields is in the right offense, that talent could – really shine. But
that's Give me love.
Okay, so we've moved it up to 12. Love or T-Law?
Love.
I lean T-Law there because I just like the weapons more, but I don't hate that. That's getting really close.
As a Jags fan, I can say that Jack supporter, I should say. He has vastly underwhelmed with our dear, and my dear, I mean an absolute jerk in Urban Meyer. And he is vastly underwhelmed when we needed him the most in this past season. So yeah, I'm going Love for right now. Give me Love.
Yeah, that's really close to me. I think I lean Love, but yeah, it's really close. It's hard to say. I mean, T-Law hasn't been awful, but he's not been what we hoped he would be. The next one at 10 would be Jordan Love or Tua.
Love.
Wow, yeah, I'm going Tua there. That's tight for me, but I'm just not that in on Love.
Yeah, it's another one that's close for me. I like Tua a little more than T-Law. I would have him slightly above T-Law, and I think I lean Tua there, but I can see the other side. Okay, so for J-Mike then, let's go to 9. Jordan Love or Anthony Richardson?
Whoa. And I got to say, Anthony Richardson and his extra small sample size. We talk about players that can take you to the moon. He showed that, and he was much better than I thought he would be out the gate. Probably Anthony Richardson, but man, I will say Richardson.
Okay, and I think the top, that was QB9, so that would put Love at 10. But I just want to ask, I think the top 7 are no-brainers over Love. I want to ask the guy at 8, Dak Prescott or Jordan Love?
Love. I'll take Love.
I get probably the age reset over Dak too, to be honest. Yeah,
I get the age reset too.
Yeah. Too inconsistent for me. Yeah.
So yeah, I think J. Mike basically has him at QB9, and Andrew would have him a couple spots. The top 7 are the lowest is Herbert, like Herbert, Burrow, Stroud. So I think at that point we're all going those guys over Love. So yeah, but
so let me ask this, Rocky. Let me ask this: what do I need to add to Jordan? Excuse me. What would I need? What would I need to add to Jordan Love to get to a Jalen Hurts?
I need a first plus.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, maybe not 2 first, but definitely a first plus. A first and maybe a second value, something like that. Because I still value Hurts very highly. He definitely struggled last year in a real, from a real life perspective, more so than he definitely did in 2022. But he still had a great fantasy season. I mean, I was looking at some stuff today, kind of preparing for upcoming DGN. And I believe he had in TA scoring 400 fantasy points. So he still had a very, very good fantasy season, even if he struggled a bit from a real life perspective. So, and I don't see him going anywhere anytime soon. So that would be the only other worry. You know, they just extended him last year. I don't think he's going to get all the chances in the world to write the show. Again, he wasn't awful last year. They were 10-1 and right. He was performing pretty well. Like the whole team tailed off in the second half and he was part of that. But, yeah, I would need a lot to move down from Hurts to Love, and that's from a guy who likes to move down the quarterback. But I would still have Hurts only behind probably Allen and maybe Mahomes, and that's I would still have him at 3. Is that where you guys would you guys have anybody else above him from a dynasty perspective?
Probably not. I'll wrestle with Burrow just because of like. Just being able to see what he's been able to do, but
and Stroud is interesting to me, but I think I need to see a little more.
Same. And I think I just asked because if I have Love that high, as you walk me through that, which thank you for doing so, then I need to also figure out, okay, if I have Love that high, what would it look like for me to be able to tear down, and what would it look like for me to be able to add to in the cases where I'd like to like shoot for the moon. And it sounds like I'm higher on Love, so I probably would have to add more than I think I would want to. But I think that it's worth exploring.
Well, but that makes Love a great target for you, though. If you're higher than the market, right, that's something you can exploit where you can tear down to Love and get, you know, trade away Hurts for Love in a first, it sounds like, right? Like you'd be happy to do that. And maybe like that's where you can kind of look at the inefficiencies and kind of pick yourself aside and kind of go, all right, well, not saying that they're equal. But if the value is, you know, Love plus a lot and you value Love a lot, you're getting a lot, right? That could be an option for you to look at.
it's like two tiers down probably, but yes, I think you're spot on with that. That makes sense.
Well, just to answer too, like I kind of have Allen and Mahomes in the top tier, and then Hurts was in that tier, but he was just a little spottier than usual. And I don't think we're talking enough about losing Jason Kelce. I really do think that's going to make a difference, both with the brotherly shove, tush push, whatever, like that. He's a big part of that.
But I also agree, changing, although it's not 100% official yet, I will say.
No, I know. I feel like it's not official, but it's probably going to happen. And I think he doesn't want to take the shine away from Travis in the Super Bowl and all that. Like, I totally get that. But with the podcast and everything and the way he's enjoying life as a fan, I totally understand too. He deserves to retire. He's done everything he needed to do, but I'm just saying that change is going to be a lot. And I think sometimes people misunderstand that that relationship between a center and a quarterback is really hard to duplicate. And I think that Hurts is going to struggle a little bit this year. And maybe it's just a narrative and it's not real, but I wouldn't be shocked if he does. Maybe that's the better way to put it. So for now, I'm putting him out of that top tier and into the second tier with those guys you mentioned, Burrow and Lamar, I think is in that too, to be honest with you. I think Lamar is actually, you know, signing that deal and that offense turning around. Like, I really, really like where Lamar is going this year. And Zay Flowers showed up. We saw them play a pretty good game. The last game you saw Lamar was not great. So I think that left people with a bad taste, but I put them all kind of in that second tier. And then I'm probably putting Love in that, you know, QB 10 to 12, QB 10 to 15 kind of tier, you know, like there's a big gap there that anybody can fill in, but I don't hate any of that. And I do think that the gap between Love and Hurts is probably a first. So I'm kind of with you on that, Rocky, give or take.
Okay, and we'll move on to our next question then, which comes from FF Tommy B. Asks a question almost every week at this point. Love you, Tommy. Also going to be a new part-time co-host on Dynasty Junkies. Had to get that plug in, sorry.
Okay.
First, on the Russ question, he says, is there truth Russ has faded into the ether, a la Tinkerbell, due to the lack of relevant incoming big Clemson wide receivers to the NFL? That could be possible, Tommy. I'm not sure. But J. Mike, what game show do you think you'd realistically have the best chance of winning? That's Tommy's question for you.
Tommy is such a stinking treat. Man, I really enjoy getting to know him and being in the same league and even hearing his mind, Superflex Super Show, and now even more on the Junkie. So I'm excited that he's good people. Thank you, Tommy. I think that I would absolutely destroy Supermarket Sweep. All those jingles and things of that nature of just trying to remember and find where things are in the grocery store. Like, I would obliterate that. Being a dad of three daughters who are growing and eating up everything as though they were boys, having to run and get feminine products for my wife, and obviously just shopping in general for groceries, I would crush a Supermarket Sweep.
That's a great answer. That's a great answer. There's a, I don't know if anybody has this, but on Samsung TV Plus, you know, like if you get a smart TV from Samsung, it just has a bunch of channels that just show up, right? One of them is a Supermarket Sweep channel, and it's just back to back to back reruns.
Oh my goodness.
And once we found that, that's just on before we pick Netflix or something. You know what I mean? Like it just comes, and it's just every time it comes on with those big poofy 80s sweatshirts, you know, I'm just like, man, this show is amazing. Like, how did they do this? Then they do some of the clues, and I'm like, I have no idea because that brand doesn't exist anymore, right? So it's just such a wild trip through time. But yes, that's a terrific answer, J. Mike. Well done.
Yeah, I love it. Okay, next question is from at Making You Viral on Twitter, and he says, I know it's silly to ask as it's all pretend, but where is the best landing spots for the incoming QBs, wide receivers? And he also said, Russ is out using a set of special skills and then gave us a gift of Liam Neeson in Taken. So that's his take on where Russ is right now. But J-Mick, what do you think? What are the best landing spots for incoming QBs, wide receivers?
So many of the mocks, I think, have what I think is pretty clear. I don't think the quarterbacks are leaving the top four. If you want me to dream a little bit, just to be able to try and get weird, I do think it would be a lot of fun in the event that one of the teams that did not traditionally get involved in the top three did so. So I'm thinking a team that, I don't know, and we said that they never really do this, but what if Pittsburgh traded up to get one of the top quarterbacks? Like, that would make – like, that would be a lot of fun, I think, for them to do that. But as it stands, I won't get too crazy. Marvin to Arizona immediately makes him, what, a top six dynasty wide receiver, probably. If you pair him with Kyler, like, you give Kyler a legitimate monster. And what happens if Malik Nabers goes to Justin Herbert at six yeah. overall in San Diego and for the LA Chargers? All of a sudden, you're looking at a guy who is the heir apparent to Keenan Allen's goodness and is dynamic and wins at every area of the field. And again, when I think about the prospects coming in, I think, okay, what number of players in this draft have the ability to have an entire passing game built around the things that they do? They're the only two. It's Harrison and it's Nabers, and seeing those two go to those places, I think would just be absolute dreams for what the situations could be, because what we don't want is Harrison going to the Patriots. What we don't want is Nabers going to the Patriots. We don't want that weirdness happening. we don't want any of that.
Drake May going to the Patriots. Yeah.
No, we don't want any of that. But also, yeah. if any of those guys fall, if Nabers falls to Chicago at 9, and Chicago can go Caleb, Nabers on one side, flipping DJ Moore on the other, man, that could be a lot of fun too. So those are my picks. Nabers to either the Chargers or the Bears would be probably my favorites.
You can go ahead, Andrew.
I just want to say, like, there is a – we talked about this a little bit before, and I feel like this would be an interesting time to bring it up. There is a world, I'm sure, where the Bears trade down to Washington. So Washington can get Caleb at 1, and they trade down that 1 pick, right? And I don't know what they get. Let's say they get a future first, or they get some massive – like, why not, right? Like, it's worth it to them. And they go to 2, and they take Jaden Daniels at 2, right? And they end up trading Fields. Well, Daniels and Nabers – be an interesting combo, right? We've seen that happen a lot, LSU especially. Like, I think we're starting to see a lot more of those pairings. And if Nabers fell to 9, or even if he, you know, is on the board and on the clock there at 7, maybe the Bears trade up from 9 and trade that piece they had. I mean, there's a whole bunch of fun little wrinkles that we could see this year. And I think that's probably, I don't say the only team that could do that. Anybody can do that. But I think that would be a really interesting twist. The other, thing I want to mention is I wouldn't sleep on Atlanta needing a quarterback. I wouldn't be shocked at all to see them trade up and get in the mix. Because of the way that coach has changed.
Because they're interested in Drake London being able to trade up.
Yep.
And
Yep, Drake London, Kyle Pitts, Bijan, they're missing that one piece. If they can go up and get Drake May at 3, you know what I mean? Like, that whole offense looks different with a better quarterback. So I think that, in my mind, is like the prime quarterback landing spot, because everything else is set up. They got a new coach who, you know, that team is going to be going this year with as bad as they were this year. So that's my dream landing spot. And then we talked about it before too. I think Titans would be an interesting spot to see if Harrison falls to 7, or even Nabers, of course, at 7. Like, you know, with Will Levis and that new offensive line that we were just talking about, Tyjae Spears is the heir apparent. Like, they could use some help with receivers. So there's a couple of really good ones in the top 10 that we should see slot in very nicely. Now, back to the other side of this, though, I would hate to see the Giants get a good receiver again. Like, oh, gee, you know what I mean? Like, what – the Jets, you know what I mean? Like, what are the Jets doing? Why would they? So there's some stupid picks that could still happen too. But there's a ton of good spots at the top of this draft. We're going to see a lot of skill position players. I actually wouldn't be shocked at all if in the top 10, you see 9 skill position players in that top 10, because it's just that top heavy with talent this year. That being said, the NFL never does that. So we'll see. But yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. Just Atlanta is my dream quarterback landing spot.
Yeah, you guys took a lot of what I was going to say. Atlanta was one I was going to point out. And the only thing I'll add that Andrew didn't say is also with Zach Robinson, a McVay disciple there, also makes it more interesting to me as well. And then when J-Mike's mentioned Pittsburgh, I started trying to think of teams that aren't obvious that would be picking at the top that could maybe get there. And Atlanta at 8 was one. The other one I was looking at is if Cousins leaves – Minnesota's at 11. That's not impossible to get up there. And as Jay Mike pointed out earlier, it's a great spot for a quarterback with Addison, Jefferson, and Hockenson. So that would be another interesting one, I think, if they could pull it off. But they'd have to give up a lot to get up into that top three. So, but yeah, that would be the other one I would think of. So next question comes from our guy, Frank. He not only gives us the news, he usually sends a listener question every week now, too. So he says, what are you doing with Brandon Ayuk? He's entering his fifth year option next season, and it's really starting to feel like he could be the odd one out with the Brock Purdy extension needed. Are you selling now while he's at his highest before a potential holdout slash trade request? And then he says for Russ's, what's going on with Russ? He's following T. Higgins around the country on his free agent visits like you would a band. So basically, Russ is now a T. Higgins groupie.
I love that. It's already true. So.
By the way, with Ayuk, it's funny because I, when I was sending out some of these TA trades, I guess I'm buying Ayuk because I sent an offer that I just happened to check because Russ kind of dissed some of my offers that I sent out. And I looked because I know Russ does a pod with the DTC. And it actually came out exactly equal. I'm curious what you guys think. I sent him the 108 for Ayuk and it was rejected.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay. I think I like Ayuk more than the 108.
Yeah.
With the way that tier break is going, we just talked about before. I like Ayuk a lot. I don't think there's any reason to trade away Ayuk as of today. I think that even if he goes into his fifth year option and there's some question marks, I think he's shown his talent. And I think, you know, I'd probably rather have Ayuk than a rookie at this point. I'm not saying any rookie, but like a rookie 108 pick. But I'm buying him too. If somebody's kind of feeling squirrely on him or, you know, wanting to get out and I had a 108, 109, I'd send a pick like that for him. I think that still sounds reasonable to me. And I think his talent is still there. And I think he was a kind of a late bloomer. So sometimes that means, you know, you got more tread on the tires for whatever you want to call it. Like, I think he's got a lot of future left. So I'm not scared of Ayuk. Yet.
Yeah, and he's still only 25. I think it'll be 26 okay. when the season starts.
Yeah, I was thinking he was 26, 27. Okay.
I mean, you're talking right like getting into a receiver's prime there. So yep. I like Ayuk's talent a lot, and I was not an Ayuk guy early on, but I've come around big time on him. I love his talent. I love his run after the catch ability. And I think he would be, you know, unless you go somewhere like atrocious, like he's, you know, goes to New England after San Francisco or something. I think he can succeed elsewhere. Obviously, I think being in a Shanahan system helps pretty much everybody, but I think the talent is there and I'd be willing to buy at value. Like I said, I tried to send the 108. I get turning that down, but I'm not going to break the bank for him, but I would definitely pay somewhere in that range that I sent for him. So what do you think, Jay Mike?
Yeah, he's such a confounding value. The last two seasons being a top 15 wide receiver in fantasy and showing out something fierce this past season. I think I'd even flirt with even sending the 107 for Ayuk. I think the only thing that would scare me about that is if one of those top six guys falls for whatever reason in my draft, then I'll be really sour to miss out on whatever that would look like. But after those top six, so I think it's probably safer with the 108. Man, yeah, I really like Ayuk. I think I would be way in on, 108 or, 108 and something to be able to get Ayuk. I like that a lot.
So it sounds like you guys agree with me. You're not, if you have Ayuk, you're not trying to sell now. Like Frank said, are you selling now at his highest before a potential holdout trade request?
I don't know.
You're holding there if you have Ayuk. Yeah.
I think he can still go up, to be honest with you. I think the offense is spreading the ball around a lot. And I think there's a chance whether he's on this team or not. I mean, he could still get more targets. And I don't think he's at his peak yet. So I'm holding.
Okay. And we'll finish up with this last question from at DFF underscore S Jonathan 02, who I believe is in TA1, Jonathan Smith. What do we do with the 24 class outside of the wide receivers? The QBs have question marks even at the top. The RBs appear to be mid, and tight ends are well tight ends. And also, this is my favorite answer for the Russ, which is actually why I left it for last. Russ has found out he's the orphaned half-brother of Harry Potter and is learning how to cast spells. I kind of hope that's really what Russ is doing right now. I'm going to leave this question to our resident rookie expert, at least of the three of us here. J. Mike, what do you think of what he's saying here about the 24 class?
No expert here, simply a dummy. Tell you all the time, I'm a dummy. As I spoiled it on Twitter, I do think this is a really fun year to have dissenting opinions when we're thinking through the rest of this draft, because there are many people who will judge a draft based on how strong are the running backs at the top, because that's where people can kind of refill the coffers, if you will, of the running back position, which is another reason, going back to a point from earlier, there's not really anybody in this class coming up that's going to be challenging Achan's place in the hierarchy of Dynasty. And there's not really candidates behind Achan either that would be looking to pass him. More back on subject, though. If you have really strong preferences in this draft, specifically for players that you really like this is your draft. A lot of your folks are going, a lot of your league mates who are just leaning into the opinion of their favorite podcast, news outlet, whatever the case may be, fantasy producing content producer, they are going to hear so many different things. And the beauty of it is, if you're leaning away from whatever the consensus becomes as we get closer to drafts, you're going to be able to position yourself in a way to zag and really be able to extract value that you want in directions that you want to be able to move in your leagues. So the wide receiver class, I try not to speak hyperbolic, but this wide receiver class may be as deep as any that I've been able to scout. In the last, I've been doing this now for maybe six years now, being able to do this with the Dynasty Dummies and really diving into the taping, refining my craft over this time. This is a deep group, y'all. And it'll be a lot of guys that make it on rosters. And I'm not promising, and I'm not one to prognosticate. I'm not one to tell you, oh, the next Tank Dell, the next Puka Nakua. No. But I will say that the players, the quality of player that you're going to be getting from these wide receivers that go in these second and third round ranges are very high. And we're also looking at the vast majority of the running backs in this class all being second round picks and later. So you get to choose your own adventure this year. And I think that there's room for you to be able to manipulate that to your liking in your various leagues.
Okay. Like I said, I was going to leave that one to Jim. Did you have anything you wanted to add about the rookie class, Andrew?
The only thing I'll just kind of piggyback and obviously say ditto to all of that. That was a really good breakdown. But I also think that we saw this a little bit last year, too, where the running back group was, you know, one or two at the top, and then it kind of fell off a cliff. I think this year we don't even have the one or two at the top yet. I mean, maybe there's some crazy landing spot or, you know, like Jahmyr Gibbs last year, we get some crazy draft capital. Somebody decides to reach, and then, of course, everybody goes nuts. But I wouldn't be shocked if we only see one or two running backs in the first round in ADP. And I just think that in Superflex anyway, I think that's just the way it's going lately. I think we're seeing a lot of devaluation of the position. I think in general, the dynasty player is becoming a lot smarter and more, you know, kind of in tune with everyone else saying, like I was saying earlier, running backs in February, I don't want them. You know, I think that's kind of, they're becoming more replaceable for better, for worse, obviously for worse for the player. But if you know about it, then you're good. So I agree with what you said there too, Jay Mike. Second round could be a lot of running backs. And I think this may be the year that if you've got, I've seen some teams that have, you know, Justin Jefferson, Tyreek Hill, AJ Brown as your starters, and you've got the 108, maybe you look to trade that 108 for 3 seconds or something and kind of take three dart throws on running backs, you know, if you're heavy at receiver. I hate doing that in a sense. I don't like to worry about drafting for need, and I like to draft purely for talent. But in this kind of draft, maybe you could pivot a little different and come up with something. I also think we're going to see at least one or two running backs get drafted to a team that has hype and a narrative, and everybody starts to build this story, and they don't happen, right? We've seen this happen with like the Tank Bigsby's and the Zach Charbonnet and hell, even Tyjae Spears. I mean, there's I can't even list them all. We always see that narrative show up and boost somebody up into a round like Kendre Miller that they don't belong in, and then they fall in the second. So I'd much rather grab a guy in the second and kind of get him what I think could be their actual or low value than reach for them in the first, especially this year. So that's kind of what I'm doing with my early research so far.
Okay, and that's the end of our show sheet. So that is the end of our show. I want to thank both of these guys again. Andrew, thank you again for subbing in for Russ. And Jay Mike, thanks for coming on and talking with us. It's been a blast tonight. Why don't you remind again everybody who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter at JMikeCheck, at JMICCheck. One half of the Dynasty Dummies, and I know that the Hoot Nanny will be here. That's before right. You know what, our rookie Hoot Nanny.
Can't wait.
So ready for
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so I'm excited to be able to dive back in with Zach and Matt Foreman. So, yeah, y'all know the vibes. Happy to be here. Grateful for the opportunity. Thank you guys again for the fun. Truly a privilege to be able to join y'all, and I always love the time. And thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. And, again, he's at Andrew Hall FF. I'm at Dynasty FF Addict. Russ is, of course, at Dynasty Outhouse on Twitter. Make sure you're following the DAP Network on YouTube. You can catch Junkies. You can catch Timeline when it pops up. If you want to see our lovely faces while we record Trade Addicts, you can subscribe to the Patreon at patreon.com/TradeAddictsPod. Also, make sure you're supporting Fantasy Cares. I think that's everything, so I'm going to say goodnight, fellas.
Good night.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast, a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FF Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy pants. That is the best. See ya.